Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to be with you all here this morning. I think about Jamie's talking about words. You know, I thought about that as well, and I thought me and Jamie would just do a dictionary one of these days. We'll call it the Burton and Long Dictionary. I know it probably won't go quite as big as Webster's, but I'm here to tell you it'd probably be more relevant in our minds. Right, Jamie? Anyway, thank God for all of you here this morning. Can I tell you something? When you guys were talking about God's love, I thought about this. Do you want to know the depths of God's love for people this morning? Do you realize God loves those people that are in hell? Did you know that? He loved everyone, for God so loved the world. And he didn't want them there. They went there because they went there on their own free admission. He didn't want them to go there. It was his will that all be saved. It's his will that all come to his knowledge. That's how much he loved people. I mean, that's just something really to just try to grasp a hold of here this morning. Amen. I'm going to be over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and while you're turning there, I've learned a lot from my children and my grandchildren down through the years. I mean, and who in here cannot tell me that you've learned stuff from your children and your grandchildren down through the years? I have. I've learned from my children and grandchildren that baseball and hide and seek is not a sport to be played in the house. Especially when you got stuff in there that's important that you want to try to keep a hold of and not get broke. I've learned that. I've learned from my children and my grandchildren that procrastination is not a fishing lure. Especially whenever they have stuff that they need to get done the next day and they need to use your computer. I've learned that. I've learned from my children and my grandchildren that there are secret portals in our house where mysteriously things disappear and you can never find them again for a while. I mean, I've learned that, especially when it comes like down to binkies and stuff like that. For some reason, those things just, they're gone. I've learned from my children and my grandchildren that there must be uninvited guests in our house. Because when things come up broken, they don't have no idea whoever did it. So there has to be people in there. There has to be people in there that have done it. Right? And I've learned from my children and my grandchildren that a two-year-old's voice can drown out a whole church full of people. And it can drown out people in a restaurant. I've learned that. How many of you here can say that you've learned stuff from your grandchildren? I've learned that. Oh, you better believe. And there's so much more. Stuff I remember that I wrote down. I mean, there's some stuff I've learned from my kids that, you know, it just defies gravity. I mean, I'm just here to tell you. I mean, how can you drive over a concrete parking curb with a little car? I mean, how can you do that? And just, that thing's not there, but it's been done. Anyway, so much for that. Have you found 1 Corinthians 6? All right, let's stand. If you would, if you're able this morning, out of love and respect for the Word of God, let's stand and read it together. We're going to read verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, and this is very familiar scripture. Matter of fact, I kind of mentioned it last week. What know ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For we are bought with a price. And I want you to just to underline that this morning. We are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. While you're standing, let us pray. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord. We come with all praise and honor for you this morning. We praise you. We love you for what you do for us, Lord. We praise you for your mercy. We praise you for your love. We praise you for your unending grace. And Lord, we praise you for the opportunity that we have to be here this morning. Lord, go with each and every one, Lord. I pray that hearts will be opened up. I pray the anointing would be upon us this morning, Lord. And the Father, that Lord, hearts and minds will understand and know, Lord, what this is about and what your word, what thus saith the word of God. And we will give you the praise for it all. And amen and amen. You may be seated and thank you. For we are bought with a price. I got a simple question for you this morning. And this is my message. It's kind of a simple message this morning. Is God getting what he paid for? Let me ask you that this morning. Is God getting everything that he paid for? You were bought with a price. If you're a Christian here this morning, you were bought with a price. And as you look at these verses, understand, Paul is talking to saved people. He's not talking to somebody that's out here in the world. He's talking to saved people. He wasn't talking to someone who has never experienced salvation. And I want to talk to you this morning in that same aspect. I mean, I don't know that your heart's here this morning. For some here that do not know the Lord, today is a day of salvation. Today is that day that you could come to know Jesus as your Savior. In verse 20, it lays it out to them like this. For we are bought with a price. They needed to be glorifying God with their bodies and with their spirit. And I'm going to break that down here in a little bit. But I'm going to say, let me ask you this morning, again. And that's the theme it's going to be. Is God getting everything that He paid for from your life? In your body and in your spirit? Christians, we are not our own. I brought that out last week. I told you that we are bought with a price. Have you ever bought anything that wasn't as advertised? Let me ask you that. I have. I bought stuff that, you know, it didn't perform the way I thought it should. It didn't do what I thought it should do, or it would break prematurely. And I knew when I was younger, you know, when I was younger, I used to hear my grandparents and people talk about, well, you got gypped. You got gypped. Can I ask you this morning, has God gotten gypped with the way you're living your life this morning? Has God gotten gypped? Is he getting what He paid for? In reference to our walk with God, is He getting gypped this morning? Listen, are you giving Him all that He paid for? Now, I'm going to get into the price that He paid. And I'm going to get into that here in a little bit. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing compares. There's nothing that can compare. You see, He didn't die on that cross. Jesus didn't go to that cross and die. He didn't do that so we could live worldly and carnal lives or live just the way that we want to. That's not what God paid for. That's not what God did. Isaiah 43:7 says this, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for what? For my glory." If you're a born-again, bought by the blood Christian here this morning, He paid the price so that you could live to glory and honor Him. It's not about you. It's not about you making it out like you're wanting to please somebody else. You're supposed to glory and honor the one that paid the price. How about the decisions that we make in our lives sometimes? How about the surrender and the dedication of our lives each and every day for Him? Does He get the glory in the way that you live your life? Is He getting what He paid for this morning? Let's just lay it out there. From the way that you treat others, from the places that you go, from the language that you use, from the way that you dress, is He getting what He paid for? I mean, honestly, think about it. Is He getting everything that He paid for? Does He get the glory because of your faithfulness? Does He get the glory because of your faithfulness in giving? Sometimes people look at you when you say that and think, oh man, you're going to talk about money. It's not just about money. And I've said that around here enough. It's giving of your time. It's giving of your prayer life. It's giving of so much more than just the financial part of it, which is a part of it. But that's not all of it. Does He get the glory in your prayer life? You know, I preached about this around here before. Our prayer life should be more than as I lay me down to sleep. That's good. I mean, don't get me wrong. That's a prayer, I understand. But it should be more than that. You know what prayer is to me? Prayer is talking to Him like I'm talking to Greg. Prayer is talking to Him like I'm talking to my spouse. That's how our prayer life should be. Is He getting what He paid for? The greatest message in these two verses of Scripture for every Christian can be seen right here. It says, we are redeemed through the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ. Absolutely. He paid the ultimate price. He paid it. Let us dig into this text a little bit more here this morning. What I'm trying to say, we are the only ones of God's creation that can be redeemed. Did you know that? That's it. We are the only ones of man, and man alone cost Jesus His life. My dog did not cost Jesus his life. Your cat did not cost Jesus his life. All the farm animals, all the animals out here in the world, everything that you, they did not cost Jesus his life. The angels in heaven did not cost Jesus his life. Man and man alone is what caused Jesus to go to that cross. Is he getting what he paid for this morning? The angels can't experience grace. Guess who is the only one of God's creation that can experience grace? That is us. When the angels sinned, guess what happened to them? They were cast into the lowest parts of hell, and they will stay there until they are cast into the lake of fire one day. They cannot experience grace. They'll never be able to. You mess up today, brother said, you can still experience God's grace. Jesus shed his blood for redemption of men and women alike. He shed his precious blood. He paid the ultimate price. And men and women only can experience grace. They're the only ones. Man has cost God more than the rest of creation put together. You know that, don't you? When you go out at night and you look at everything that God has created, the stars, or you get up in the morning and look at everything that God has created, you take it all and you put it together. It never costs God what man costs God. God created the moon and the sun and the stars, the planets, the birds, the trees. I mean, you know this. I'm not preaching. I'm preaching to the choir, understand? And then he created men. Then he breathed into that man the breath of life. And he became a living soul. And all of that creation never cost God one thing. But when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, guess what God did? The ultimate price. He gave his very best to die right here on this cross, to shed his blood, to pay the ultimate price for the sin of this world. And if Jesus, and I believe this, would have had to go to the cross just for Dave Long, he would have went to that cross just for Dave Long. And that's the same for you and you here this morning. Amen. We belong to Jesus. We are bought with a price. We belong to him. We have been bought from the slave market of sin. Yes, we have. And we have been taken from the judgments of hell this morning. If you are born again, and if you want to see the value God placed on your body and what he placed on you this morning, you have to look no farther than the cross. Amen. How a person compromises to sin shows what they think about sin, think about Calvary. Did you know that? How you compromise on sin here this morning shows what you think about the sacrifice that Jesus did on Calvary. That's up to you. That's on you here this morning. That's on me this morning. For ye are bought with a price. It says, therefore. If you are bought with that price and you see the word therefore in the scripture, it means you better pay attention. You were bought with a price. Therefore, it says, you are to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are whose? They're God's. As I said this last week, your body's not yours. Your body is not yours. Sometimes we like to make it out like it is. We like to think that it's ours. But if you are a Christian and you're believing what the Bible says this morning, your body is not yours. Again, I ask you this morning, is God getting all that he paid for? Are you cheating on God? Are you cheating on him? You see, God and even the world should expect more from a Christian than what we want to put out there sometimes. I don't blame the world for looking at me and looking at you and looking at us and looking at us and expecting more out of us. Because the world should expect more out of us. Amen? We're claiming, we're holding the banner of Jesus up. We're telling them that we belong, that we are Christians, that we are part of what Jesus stood for, what he did. When we say we are saved, we're claiming to be one of God's children. We're claiming more than others. Amen? That's what we're claiming. Paul was telling the Corinthians that Jesus just did not die for our soul. He just didn't die for our soul, but every part of our being. Do you understand that here this morning? When Jesus died, yeah, our soul is given to him. You know, whenever we accept him as our Savior. But after that, every part of our being belongs to him as well. Paul's trying to get to the point across to the Corinthian church. I know it was mentioned here this morning. There was more power put into the Corinthian church. They had the gifts of the Spirit. They had so much going on in that church. Yet, Paul said they were like babes in Christ. There was a lot going on that happened right there. And he said, Paul's trying to get a point across to them. Listen, a church, by the way, that was partaking in things that no Christian should have been partaking in. They tried to excuse their behavior by this, saying that they were saved by grace. And I mentioned, thank God for his grace. Thank God for his grace. And that's why they did in their body of their flesh. It was not important to God. Yes, it is what you do in your body. And what you do is important to God. There are those who believe that today. And I'm going to put it blunt to you. It's heresy today. It is heresy. Romans 6, 14 and 15 tells us this. For sin shall not have dominion over you. And ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? And he puts it this way. God forbid. That's not the way it was set up. Thank God for his grace. Thank God that we are saved. But that doesn't give you a ticket to go do anything that you want. Is God getting what he paid for this morning? Is he getting what he paid for out of you? I made it myself this week because I've been preached to by these scriptures myself this week. Is God getting all out of me that he paid for? Would you take it? Listen, I'll ask you. How many of you here like Gino's Pizza? Okay. If you went to Gino's Pizza and you bought a pizza and you got an extra large pizza and you paid for it and you got it back out in your car and you opened it up and it only had one slice in it, what would you do? I know what you'd do. You'd take it right back in and say, this is not what I paid for. Is God getting all that he paid for? Amen? God, listen, I tell a little story about this all the time. Whenever me and Tink first got married, remember the burger chef that used to be up on the south side? Oh, yeah. Probably a bunch of you probably have ate there at one time in your life. It was back before there was Wendy's and all the other stuff, but there was a burger chef up there. You'd go in and you could make up your own hamburgers, and it's neither here nor there. So we went in one time, we thought we'd just go in and just get a couple of hamburgers, and then we'd take them out and go. I got them out in the car, and Tink opened them up, there was no hamburger on them. None. So we took them back in, of course, see what I'm saying? I wanted what I paid for. God wants what he paid for. He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what doeth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. Now, he doesn't require a whole lot out of us, but that's one thing he required right there. To many folks, run around with the attitude, it's not important what happens to us, how we live. It's not important how we act. It's not important how we think. But Paul brings that attitude right back into reality. He says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, which ye are not your own? For we are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Is God pleased with the purchase he made? Is he pleased with it? I mean, you know, only you can answer that here this morning. I don't go around trying to judge your life because I've got a lot of my own that I got to take care of. But I can tell you this morning, that there have been times in my life God's not been pleased with what he purchased. Or is God looking and shaking his head, looking down at you and me and saying, man, I got gypped. I got gypped. My message is simple this morning. And again, it's a theme that I'm going to say over and over again. I'm going to go over the scripture over and over again. I want to drive it home. Is God getting what he paid for? Is he getting everything he paid for from your body? Listen, the moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit took up residence within you. If you're a born-again Christian here this morning, you should have felt the presence of the Holy Ghost in your life. Amen or oh my. Bible says without the Spirit, you're none of His. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. The moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit doesn't reside in this church building. You know that? It comes in here with the Christians. It should be in you. You bring it into this church building. That's where the Holy Spirit resides. It resides right here. So it indwells every born-again believer. It indwells them. That's how we know that we are saved. That's how we know how whenever we do something wrong, the Spirit will pop up. I don't know about you, but I do something that I shouldn't be doing. The Holy Spirit convicts me. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is what? It's just your reasonable service. That shouldn't even be anything that's out of the that should cause any grief to you. That's if you're a Christian, that's just your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and what is acceptable and the perfect will of God. Again, I ask you, is he getting everything that he paid for? Has he gotten everything that he paid for? Are you pleasing to God? What with the habits that you're holding on to? Some still hold on to tobacco products today. I'm not going to get a whole lot of amens out of this, but I'm just going to tell you. I believe when you get saved, the Holy Spirit will begin to deal with you. It dealt with me. I'm here to tell you. It dealt with me. I used to smoke. Some of you in here probably don't know that. But after I got saved, he started dealing with me. And I had to get rid of it. Because my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 5:18, and be ye not drunk with wine, we're in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. You know what? If we are filled with the Spirit, we wouldn't have a whole lot more time for other things to be in there. With the people you're running around with. Is he happy with that here this morning? 2 Corinthians 6:17. Therefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. This may be hard to swallow here this morning, but I'm just going to be blunt with you. If you have friends who are not Christians, it's about time you reevaluate your friends. Because we need to be around people of like mind and like spirit. Seriously considering getting new Christian friends. If you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend who are not a Christian, I'm going to be blunt with you this morning. It's time to reconsider your girlfriend and your boyfriend. You're not supposed to be unevenly yoked, and that's not talking along racial lines. That's talking about a Christian and a non-Christian. More often than not, they will draw you their way. They will draw you their way. Because you know why? Because the devil's very... It says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God. Ye are not your own. With what you choose to consume each day, with your mind, what you watch, what you listen to, or what you read, listen to me this morning. You are asking him to live in a dirty house. Amen or oh my. You're asking him to live in a dirty house. I'm not going to go there. Does God have full control of your life this morning? Does God have full control of your life this morning? Very simple question. Is God getting what he paid for? Years ago, there was a popular saying out there. And I remember this back in the day. God is my co-pilot. That was on everything. Remember? Bumper stickers, it was on t-shirts, it was on car chains, it was on everything. A lot of folks had this stuff. God is my co-pilot everywhere. One night during the height of that, I heard a preacher preach a sermon one night. And it stuck with me for years. And he got up and he said, God's not my co-pilot. You would have thought, you'd have heard a pin drop. Blasphemy. He said, God is my pilot. He said, co-pilot means he's second in command. God is number one in command. Amen. Can I ask you this morning, is God number one in your life this morning? Is he getting what he paid for? Is he getting what he paid for out of your life? Is he doing, God, listen, I say yes. God is my pilot this morning. He should be the one leading our lives. Listen, in Psalms 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I helpeth, therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth. And my song will I praise him. If we want to lead, he wants to lead, he wants to guide your life, he wants to have control over your life here this morning. If you're a Christian, give it to him. Let him have control over your life this morning. Then again, I ask you, is he getting what he paid for? There are a lot of folks sitting in churches this morning who have been cheating God. God's not even getting what he paid for, and they wonder why God's power is not working in their lives. Seriously, you think about this. You wonder why the power of God is not working in your life sometimes. Check and see if God is getting all that he paid for. Amen? Do you realize God's value, his relationship with you, was far more than the average Christian values their relationship with God? God absolutely values his relationship with you. A lot of times we don't value the relationship we have with him. Yes, we don't. Romans 5:8, but God commandeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, what's it say? Christ died for us. God invested an awful lot. He invested an awful lot that we could be reconciled to God. I highly recommend it here this morning. If you're not saved, you can be reconciled to God. You don't have to worry about when you go out of this church building whether or not you're saved or not, because you can know. I'm here to tell you, it is a no-so salvation. You'll know if you're saved. There's no guessing if you're saved. There's no, I wonder, I hope if I'm saved. When you, listen, I can tell you right now, if you're on your deathbed and you know what, you are a Christian, you know that you're saved. You know where that you're going. There's no fear of death. If you would invest your money, is he getting back his investment? You know what? If you invest your money in a 401k and in stocks or bonds or IRAs or any of that kind of stuff, and you haven't invested in that, and that thing is losing money, what would you do with it? You'd say, I'm not getting my investment out of that thing. And you'd take it out of there and you'd put it in something where you could get the investment in it. Brothers and sisters, we better thank God for his mercy, is what I say this morning. Because there's a lot of time he's not getting what he invested. Psalms 103:8-11. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Oh, isn't that something right there that all of us need to hang on our refrigerators? Amen. He's not dealt with us according to the way that he should deal with us, is what that's saying. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. But can I warn you also here this morning, don't keep going down that path. You're playing with fire. Is God getting what he paid for from you this morning? You were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his. Do you know what spirit means? You can mark that word out and it means attitude. That's what spirit means there. He said, in your attitude, which are God's. You see, it's better translated that way. You see, are you glorifying God in your body and with your attitude? I'm going to be blunt with you this morning. There are people that I come across with almost every day that when I see them coming, I have to run, because their attitudes, the way that they do things, will just bring me down right now. And I know that you've dealt with that in your life too. You may get a phone call. Have you ever got a phone call and you got caller ID and you think, because you know the attitude that's on the other side. Are you glorifying God with your body and with your attitude? You probably know someone who you try to avoid like the plague, like I do. Because you've seen, been around for a while. You know what's going on. You know that you have to, they just make you want to crawl in bed and cover up your head with a pillow. Or maybe even stick a fork in your eye. They seem always to be agitated. They seem always to be depressed. The sky is always falling. Or they don't want anything to do with anybody. There's two different sides of this attitude. They don't want anything to do with anybody. You head into work and someone asks, you ask them, how are they doing? Oh, I've had better days. And the day hasn't even started. Paul's saying to the Corinthian Christians, you need to be better than that. Praise God. I'll tell you, we are saved by grace, by the blood of God. We are the most blessed people on this planet, whether you want to believe it or not. Our destination is heaven. When we get up in the morning, if we put our thoughts and our minds on that, man, I'm going to heaven one day. Yes, you got to go to work. Yes, you got to go to this and do this and that. But if you understand that you're going to heaven one day, what do we have to be disappointed about? If you're here this morning and your attitude is bad, are you always negative, you always find fault, if you're always wanting to gossip, if you're always critical of people, your spouse is never doing anything right. 1 Thessalonians 15:11, wherefore comfort yourself together, edifying one another, even also ye do. I'll tell you what, edifying is hard for some people. Edifying others is hard for some people. As a Christian, that should not be. You don't think the world doesn't put a negative slant in your mind on everything? You don't think so? Ken mentioned something earlier, and I'm glad he did. He said he went down the road, and he seen a what? He said you seen a stoplight. Or he said you seen a red light, didn't you? There's two other lights on that thing. Why don't we call it, we're going down the road and we see a green light? Why do we not say, well, we're going down here and there's a yellow light down here you got to stop at? No, we always say it's a red light. We always take a negative slant on everything. Why does the weather forecast always say there's a 20% chance of rain instead of an 80% chance of sunshine tomorrow? Because we always put a negative slant on everything. The world, because of the sin, we like to put negative slants on everything. Brother said, we can be better than that. We can. We are ambassadors for the King. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. You know what he's saying? You're going out in Christ's stead. He's not here right now. We're going out there into this world on behalf of the King. And if your attitude is bad, from the moment that they meet you, if your attitude is bad, if you're always all the things that I said, when they see you, what do they think about the King? They don't think much of him, do they? 1 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. The attitude, that's what that's meaning again. Is God getting what he paid for? Is God getting everything that he paid for? Do you come to church praising or do you come to church complaining? I heard an old preacher when I was at 14th Avenue that always said we need to come to church prepared for church. You need to come to church prepared for church. What was he meaning? He said, when you come into this church, he said, come to church with a praise on your lips, praising God. Come to church expecting God to move. Come to church expecting the church to be on fire every time. Now, is it every time? No, it's not. But you know what? Whose fault that is? That's all of ours. Because we don't come to church with the right attitude a lot of times. Do people enjoy being around you because you're so loving? How is God getting what he paid for if you're going out into this world and if you're going around people like that, if you're always complaining and belly aching? Amen or oh my. King David said this after in Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit, which translates out to attitude again. Create in me, renew a right attitude within me. Amen. Get up in the morning and say, God, give me the right attitude to go out and face this world. I'm bought with a price. I want to hold up to my end of the bargain. God, give me the right attitude. Is God getting everything that out of your service for Him? He never saved anyone to sit down on a pew. Do you understand that? He never saved anybody just to sit on a pew. We all have something that we can do. What are you doing for God? And just coming to church just doesn't cut it. I'm just going to be blunt with you this morning. Just coming to church and just showing up just doesn't cut it. You know why you come to church? You come to church to be fed. That's what you come to church to be doing. And just coming to church, is God getting what He paid for? Are you doing as little as you can get by with? Oh my goodness, I could go in. No, better not. Better not. Thank you, Lord. Are you doing just as little as it takes to get by? Whether you're preaching, whether you're teaching, whether you're singing, whether you're mowing the grass, whether you're cleaning the church, no matter what it is God getting what He paid for? Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men. Remember that. When you're out there working, whether you're working in the world, whether you're working in this church, you're not doing it for man. You're not doing it so man can be get, so you can get praise. You're supposed to be doing it so God can get the praise. Did you realize everything God created was created for man except for man? Did you know that? God created everything. We know that. I said that earlier. The heavens, the stars, everything was created. And then God said this, and God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Everything that God made, and He said it was good, was made for man. Except for one thing. God created man for Himself. Do you know that? Matthew 22:30, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Is God getting everything that He paid for? Because God, all that God wants out of us, what He wants from us is to glorify Him in our body and in our attitudes. Glenda, come get a song this morning. You know, especially in today's world of social media, can I tell you this morning? It's bad for a company if they get a bad review, because people put it out there. They put a bad review out there. That, you know, if something happens, you know, if you go to a store and doesn't get what they paid for, or they think the service is bad, whatever it is, it's bad advertisement. It's bad advertising. If you are not living what Jesus Christ wants us to live, guess who it's bad advertisement on? Bad advertisement on the king. It's bad advertisement because you are the ambassador. You know that the worst advertisement for Christianity sometimes is so-called Christians. That's the worst advertisement for Christianity, is some Christians not living up to what they should be, and also those that claim to be Christians and are not. It is. Is God getting what He paid for this morning? From your life and from mine. That's a question you got to answer for yourself here this morning. But you know what? We have an altar up here, and this altar is to be used. If you feel to come up here this morning, no one's going to judge you, because we've all been there. Amen? Amen. We're all that way. No one here is any better than anybody else. We all have our faults. We all have our troubles. We all have our downfalls. But you know what? We do know that there is a Jesus that we can go to.